Our reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel and chapter 15, and we're going to read the first 10 verses. Luke's Gospel, chapter 15, and starting at the first verse, and it's from the New King James Version. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there would be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. May God bless that portion of his word to our hearts, and may he help us to understand more of his tremendous love and grace to us. Have you ever lost anything that is special? So special to you, that is important to you, of great value to you? Have you ever searched for that and longed to find it? I came home from work one day, many years ago, and Doreen said, she started crying. I said, "What's the matter?" "I've lost my engagement ring," she said. "I've searched for it. I can't find it." So we started looking and searching for it. We couldn't find it anywhere. I searched high and low. And then she said, "Well, the only thing I can think of is that I must have dropped it on the floor. And I've had the vacuum cleaner up it. And it's gone out in the rubbish yesterday." So Dory and I got our old clothes on, and we went with a fork and a spade to the rubbish dump that was then in Pont de Lys. And we searched, and we found our rubbish bag. We thought, great, opened the bag, searched high and low through it. It wasn't there. It was lost. In our reading, we find that Jesus is speaking to Pharisees and scribes who look down their noses at tax collectors and sinners. They didn't were not concerned for them whatsoever. And you'll have to excuse me because the fan is blowing my Bible pages over. I'll have to go into it from time to time to turn it over. But the Pharisees, they came to hear Jesus and they said, "This man," they didn't even call his name Jesus. They knew who he was, but they said, "This man," in such an arrogant way, "this man receives sinners and eats with them." And Jesus answers this question in two parables. There are three, actually. But if you want to know the third, you've got to come tonight. So I'm inviting you to come back tonight to hear the third. So he tells them these two parables about a lost sheep and a lost coin. He points out to them that God goes out of his way to seek the lost. And perhaps this morning, you might be lost here. You might not think you were lost. That ring that Doreen lost, didn't think it was lost, really. It wasn't on her finger. Sometimes she used to take her engagement ring off to wash the dishes or to do something else. But that ring didn't really know it was lost. Unlike these Pharisees and scribes who only want to keep away from people of that sort. And you know, sometimes we can be like that as Christians. You know, we can look at people and we can say, well, really, that God really doesn't want that sort. But you know, we have all got come from different backgrounds, different things. Well, Jesus tells them these wonderful parables. He came into this world for this purpose, to save sinners. He says so to Timothy when he writes in 1 Timothy and the first chapter and verse 15, he tells us this. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says he's the chief of sinners. Now in this first parable, the lost sheep, the shepherd goes out of his way to find the lost sheep. It speaks to us of how the Lord comes after us. He seeks you and he seeks me. We didn't come to him of our own accord. We came to him because he searched for us. He longed for us to be in his fold. And when we are in his fold, he holds us tight. So tight he won't let us go. When you are in my hand, there is nothing that can be taken out of my hand. He speaks to us of how the Father yearns for lost people. You know, we talk to the children about Father's Day. You know, how fathers love their children and how they do things for them, especially those who go out to work and earn money for them to buy food. Right? That's wonderful. That's a father. But you know, God has gone out of his way to come and send Jesus out into this world to die on a cross at Calvary to save you and me from our sin. The shepherd could have turned around and said, well, I've got 99. Why bother about the other one? You know, I can easily make this up. Or he could have said, well, I'm so concerned about the 99, I don't really want to go after the other one. There could be robbers on the road there, or could be highwaymen or anything. You know, I could fall, stumble. I'm caring for these 99. But no. He goes out of his way. Do you know, Jesus in this parable doesn't say how long the shepherd was searching for that lost sheep. He doesn't say how far that sheep had strayed. You know, we look at around and we can say, and perhaps you can say, you know, I've strayed from God so far away it seemed impossible that I could ever come back to him. The shepherd goes all out to find that sheep. He leaves the 99 in the wilderness. It doesn't say he left it with anybody else. They could have been there and thought, wow, you know, the shepherd's gone. We can have a good time. Come on. We go into another field. We go here. We go there. We can go where we like. But you know, God has got his eye on that lost sheep. He's got his eye on you. He wants you into his fold. And perhaps you're this morning and you know the Lord and you've known the Lord for many years. Well, you know, it's tremendous. You are to rejoice, to be thankful that God went out of his way for you because he loved you so much. God will not give up on you, no matter how far you've strayed from him. He goes out of his way to get you back into his fold. God may have spent perhaps many years searching for you. God may have been on the lookout for you for many years. He may have been calling for you time and time again, and you haven't heard his voice. When Doreen and I went to Israel, one of the most wonderful things we saw, amongst other things there, was that we went outside Jerusalem and we looked down and I said, "Dore, look, look, the shepherd. He's coming up the Kidron Valley." But he wasn't behind the sheep, he was in front. And the sheep were following him. Everyone was following him. And you know, he calls us. The shepherd might have called many times to the sheep, "Where are you? Where are you?" And the sheep couldn't answer because perhaps he was too far away. Perhaps he was down a cliff, on a precipice. And that shepherd goes out and searches for him until he finds him. What a caring, loving Saviour we are. This is the picture of a Saviour who cares and loves for you so much that he goes out of his way to get you into his fold. And you don't hear his voice. But somehow, this shepherd finds the sheep. We don't say how. That's not the concern, where he's gone to or how long the shepherd has been looking for that sheep. The point is that he goes to search and he finds. And what does the scripture tell us, or Jesus tells these Pharisees and scribes? When he finds it, he's found it. He lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. He doesn't grab hold of the sheep and pushes it on and gets his crook and just tacks it on the back and say, "Go on, go on." He takes hold of it and he puts it on his shoulders. You are not going to get away anymore. And that's what God does for you and me. He takes hold of us and he says, "I will never, ever let you go. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Pharisees and the scribes were unwilling to associate themselves with such people as these publicans, these tax collectors, these sinners. They were untouchables, not to be anywhere near. But God goes out of his way for any person, whether never mind how far they have fallen. Do you know that thief on the cross? You know, he couldn't do anything about his circumstance. Jesus couldn't turn around to him and say, "Go to the priest and confess to your sins to the priest, or go and live a good, honest and better life than what you've been living." The thief turns to him and says, "Lord, remember me." And Jesus' reply straight was, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." You know, have you been away from God for some time? Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you and you haven't responded? Well, perhaps this is the day that you will respond to that call. Perhaps this is the day when you see for the first time that God loved you so much that he gave himself for you. He goes out of the way for you. Jesus shows us his tremendous love for sinners, that he goes out of his way for you and for me. Notice what it says in the last few verses of that little parable there. And when he comes home, and you know, it says there that we are to be called home. You know, we are, as Christians, are only passing through this scene of time. The Christian's home is with Jesus in heaven. And when he comes home, he calls together his family, his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep which was lost." Wow. That's tremendous. And you know, heaven rejoices when you come to know Christ the Savior. And it's not just for the one who is lost. I know it says here that Jesus says that there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. You were once lost and you were rejoiced over when you came to know Christ the Savior. Heaven's arches rung. Do you know, I don't know if you've ever been to Spain or Portugal and you've been hounded by these timeshare people. Sometimes we used to go just to get the little gifts they give you. And we go and you hear these talking and so forth. And all of a sudden, you'll hear people shouting and bells ringing. Somebody has signed up for timeshare. But you know, ever better than that is that the choruses of heaven are shouting out and the bells are ringing when someone comes to Christ as Saviour. And to emphasize that, Jesus speaks again of a woman in the second parable. A poor person who has lost a coin. I bought a coin. I saw one advertised. I thought I'd like it. It was a commemorative coin for the 100th anniversary of the FA Cup being played. And I sent away for it. But you know, ever since then, for the last 4, 5, 6 months, I've been inundated. I get at least 3 or 4 letters a week asking me to buy different coins just because I sent away for one. This woman, she had 10 coins. We don't know whether they were individual coins, like a collector, or whether it was on a bracelet that had broken off and lost one, or on a necklace that was broken and lost. But she lost it. It was precious to her. So precious that she didn't just open the window to get more light in, or the door to get more light through. She lights a lamp, he says, and sweeps the whole house from top to bottom. I told you about Doreen losing her engagement ring. Well, that's not the end of the story. Sometime later, Doreen came home from school and I said to her, "Close your eyes and give me your hand." "What for?" she said. I said, "Close your eyes, give me your hand." "What for?" she said. "What's my one do something like that for?" I said, "It'll come out shortly. Don't worry." "All right," she said. So she closed her eyes, gave me her hand, and I put her ring, engagement ring, on her finger. And when she opened, she said, "You found it! You found it! Where was it?" I said, "I was looking in the bureau, and something sparkled at the back. And I looked, and there was your engagement ring." "I remember now," she said. I was taking, I think it was Stephen at the time, he was a child, little baby, and I was taking my shawl with him, and I was afraid that if I put the shawl around me, that perhaps the ring would come off and I'd lose it. So I put it in the bureau for safekeeping. Well, I said, it fell behind the shelf and it was hidden. What a relief. This woman lost the coin. And she swept clean the whole house until she finds it. And when she finds it, she rejoices. You know, God is so concerned for lost people that he'll search and he'll search and he'll search for you and for me. These Pharisees and scribes, they shouldn't have brushed off these so-called tax collectors, publicans, sinners. He shouldn't have given the cold shoulder to these people, put them down. In one sense, slapped their face, said, we don't want anything to do with you. You are not our sort. Jesus tells these tax collectors, these Pharisees and scribes, you are to go out and to search for the lost and to bring them home to God. That's the purpose of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we tell people that they are lost and without hope and they need Jesus Christ in their life. Are you one of those this morning? Can you say from your heart, I know the Lord. He is mine and I am his, because he wants you to do that. He wants you to come and to know him in this real and living way. This parable isn't there just to fill up some empty pages in Scripture. It is there because it happened that Jesus was being attacked by these publicans and sinners, these publicans and scribes, because tax collectors, because he was speaking to these sinners. It's our job as Christians is to go all into all the world and preach the gospel to whoever, wherever, and for the praise and glory of God. We are not to keep it unto ourselves. We are to tell the world of this tremendous and wonderful Savior who came into this world to die on the cross at Calvary. And Jesus tells us in John's Gospel, in chapter 10, and those tremendous words of his, and he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Are you safe and secure this morning? Were you once lost and without hope? Because this world, it tickles your fancies for a while, but it can't satisfy your soul, that inner part of you. You need to come to Christ. You need to know him as Lord and Savior. And if you do this morning, and I'm sure there's many, many here that can say that, praise God. Thank him. Rejoice in your heart because of what he has done for you. He gave his lifeblood for you that you may know him and come into his kingdom. To know him is life eternal because of who he is. Well, we praise God that he can change people. He can go out and search for them, and he will find them as they give their lives to him. Lord, we thank you for that. And we praise you. So if you want to know more about the lost or the prodigal son, then come tonight and hear about the wonderful returning home of this lost son. May God help us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.